Now for my text, I want you to turn with me to this 8th chapter and the section here in the 8th chapter where Daniel mentions Greece. In this 7th chapter, no, it's the 8th chapter, verse 20. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now what I propose to do myself, and I hope I can take you with me in this sermon, is to go back and be exactly where Daniel stood at this time. When he mentioned Persia and then Greece, he had no trouble with Persia because here was Cyrus. No trouble with that. But there wasn't any sign of any Greece which would come 200 years later. But he knew pretty well the reference that he made here when he said he saw these Medo-Persian. Here was Cyrus and here was Darius. They were there. And they developed the Medo-Persian empire that was the shoulders of silver. Daniel saw all that, but nobody had ever heard of Greece. It's spelled out here. There was no such name, there was no such place, there was no such kingdom. It just wasn't there. And it took 200 years after this was written for people to find out that the man described here was Alexander the Great. And it does describe him perfectly. My, oh my, Daniel. You know, I mentioned it in one of my messages that the liberals and the modernists just can't accept all this because there was no Greece. Nobody ever had a name like that. Nobody ever had any recognition of anything like that. The great realm of Nebuchadnezzar, or rather of Alexander the Great. And so they said, well, this couldn't have been written. This has to have been written after Alexander the Great, when they could see that these things did happen. Folks, this is a pre-writing of history by the Holy Spirit to Daniel. Well, Daniel said to himself, well, Persia, I'm all right on that one. And if I'm all right on that one, I'm all right on the other. There'll be a Greece. There'll be a Greece. You realize how this confirms the accuracy and the authority and the truth of the Bible? My, how you love Daniel. There he was. I think I told you in one of my messages, and I think a lot about Daniel, and I love him so. But when we went to Babylon, and they were excavating the remains of Babylon there, there's nothing been done in these recent years, but the guide told us that here, this pavement down here is where Daniel walked. This pavement down here is where Daniel walked. And with all the trash and the remains here, way over on the side, there was a lion carved out of some sort of while he was there. They hadn't torn the lion down. But the lion represented Babylon. There it was. And I didn't know it, but one of the persons that was with us, they were all taking pictures. And when I went down and stood on the place where we felt Daniel's feet had been some time, that lady took a picture of me standing there. And she had it all framed and picked up and sent to me for Christmas. And I have Daniel's picture on my wall in the bedroom. Or rather, my picture, standing in Daniel's place, and I see it quite frequently. And you can understand how I love this man. Now let's go back and pretend we're at the time of Daniel. That we're in Daniel's position. And when Daniel got this revelation here of the future, and we got the name of Persia, well, the Medo-Persian, he was fully aware with that. Darius or Cyrus, he knew them, he dealt with them. And if they were true, then the rest of it had to be true, and there had to be this great king who would come out of Greece. And he was Alexander the Great. Perhaps I can read a little bit more of this to you, but we are told, and it has been reported, that when Alexander the Great was in his speedy conquering of the world, nobody ever did it like he did. He was shown this passage that referred to him in the Bible. And when he and his armies came to Jerusalem, he sent word ahead, "I'm coming. Your book tells you about me. We'll not in any way attack the city of Jerusalem. We come in peace." And Alexander and his forces went into Jerusalem without any opposition of any kind. He was there a short time. He left it and didn't destroy anything in Jerusalem. And when you hear these stories and wonder, you wonder maybe if Alexander the Great didn't believe in the Jews' faith. Maybe he did. He did go to Jerusalem, and that he didn't touch the temple or anything else that was there in Jerusalem. Now I want you to turn with me a little further to where Daniel reveals. Will you turn to this 9th chapter that I'm going to preach from tonight? And in the second verse, in the first year of Darius, he was a Persian, son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes and Persians, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. You know what that means? Daniel had a copy of Jeremiah's prophecy. See, Jeremiah prophesied just at the time of the coming of Nebuchadnezzar to take away Jerusalem. I want you to turn with me to what Daniel was reading when he wrote this. And if Daniel had Jeremiah to read, he also had Isaiah to read. And both Isaiah and Jeremiah have passages that refer to the Messiah, which we'll speak of as we come again tonight. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 25. You know, this is what Daniel was reading. This was Daniel reading Jeremiah's prophecy. Here in Jeremiah chapter 25, beginning with verse 8, and reading down through verse 12, you have the section here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 8 of chapter 25. Because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof at Jerusalem, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolate, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now Daniel said, I read in the books that we were going to serve Babylon for 70 years. Now turn over to chapter 29. You've got the same thing here in chapter 29. And look, if you will, let me begin reading with the 8th verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in your midst deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams that ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. That sounds pretty modern, doesn't it? In my name I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon. I can see Daniel reading this. After 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you and perform my good word unto you and cause you to return to this place, Jerusalem. Imagine Daniel reading all of this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, my God. Verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Well, there's two passages with 70 weeks in it that Daniel had a chance to read. We still got more here. In this 30th verse, let me read you this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all these words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Remember, Daniel was reading all this. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? Men supposed to have babies. And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of, here are the phrases that Jesus used himself, of Jacob's troubles. But he shall be saved out of it. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break this yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Oh, Daniel, you got some hope when you read this. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the hand of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Think of Daniel reading all these promises that there'll be an end to their captivity. Oh, Jeremiah. But that's not all. This prophecy here that about Persia and about the Greek kingdom. Dealt with the great military leader of all time, Alexander the Great. And we have this reference to Cyrus. Now let me turn you over to the book of Isaiah for just a minute, because Daniel was reading Jeremiah, he had Isaiah right alongside of it, and we have these references in Isaiah. Will you turn to Isaiah, please, chapter 44 and 45, and then we'll go into chapter 44. That Seth of Cyrus. Well, let's go back a little further. That compasseth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited in the cities of Judah. Ye shall be built, and I will raise up in the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, Be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith to Cyrus. Now in Daniel, we got the name of Cyrus, just as plain as to be. He came in after the Babylonian kingdom went down. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple the foundation shall be laid. Now look in chapter 45. All this material about Cyrus, and Daniel was dealing with Cyrus. Darius and Cyrus. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open unto him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. This is 750 years before Christ, and it's 250 years before Daniel. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Do you realize all these things that Daniel was looking to and reading were confirming his faith in the God of Israel? And after all these centuries, some of these things have not yet been fulfilled. We're still going to see some of them fulfilled. We will, or those who pass us will. Daniel's book will never cease to be. Now go down to verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's no God besides me. My, how you love to hear that. This man who led the black marchers down there got up, and I heard him say, I am a Mohammedan, and the name of God is Allah. Man, that struck me. There is no Allah. There never will be one. That's why I think that the Christians of the country reacted, a lot of them did as I do, and it's time that we Christians had our say, and had our day, and had our time to tell this nation that the founding fathers brought this Bible with them when they came over, and they believed it like we do. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches, verse 3, of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. My, that's marvelous. Think of Daniel hearing about Cyrus when he was dealing with him. Verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And it's talking to Cyrus, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me, O the Lord, and there is none else. Don't you know that these Hebrews who were in exile there in Babylon for these 70 years, and it was Daniel quoting Jeremiah, and here was Daniel dealing with Cyrus, and here Isaiah, 250 years before Daniel ever showed up, was talking about Cyrus and how Cyrus would be the one who let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. We'll get that tonight, because it's the decree of Cyrus that lets them go back. When he became the great king in the place of Nebuchadnezzar, and he looked over his team and said, "What are all these Jews doing here? What are all these foreigners doing here? Let's purify our kingdom. Let's get rid of them. Let's get them back." And he was the one who signed the decree that the Jews would go back to Jerusalem. But it was exactly 70 years. Jeremiah had said they would stay there 70 years. Beloved, this book is precious. This book is right. This book is holy. This book can be believed. I spent my life preaching it. I'm going to spend the rest of my days preaching it too, and you believe it. We've got a church that believes it. And when you come in here, you see how this man Daniel, in his place, got in the lion's den, but the lions couldn't eat him. Oh, how these three Hebrew friends got in a fiery furnace and it couldn't hurt them, couldn't singe their hair. Beloved, we're dealing with God. We're dealing with the God of Israel. And we're dealing with the God who sent the children of Israel into Babylonian captivity because they sinned. They sinned. And the punishment of that sin was captivity for 70 years. Oh, Isaiah, what a long speech you gave here in regard to this. What a very long speech you gave. Well, now let's go back over to Daniel, where we have these details. And I think you have here, in the closing section of this 8th chapter, a description of the one who will be the Antichrist. We haven't got him yet. He's going to show on the stage pretty soon. But let's look here where we have the name of Grisha, verse 21, chapter 7. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up in it. Well, it is a fact that his kingdom was divided into four sections, his generals. And here it is. This is pre-writing history. Four stood up in it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. All of his children were put to death. None of his family survived. Nobody had the power of Alexander the Great. And then in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance. Now here we skip Rome at this point. I didn't mention that, but we're going clear to the last times. And this is yet to come to pass. This is going to be your great world leader, the Antichrist. Here he is. A king of fierce countenance, going to rule the world. Understand, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He's going to have satanic power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. The Jews are going to get it under the Antichrist. Beloved, this prophecy comes down to the very end, and we have the Prince of Princes coming down in just a minute. And through his power also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. You'll be crooked, all right. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. Yeah, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, he'll say he's God. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. Going to take Jesus, pull him down, and he will. Closing battle of Armageddon there in Jerusalem, he'll stand up when Jesus comes off that mountain and walks into Jerusalem. But he shall be broken without hand. What does Paul say there in 2 Thessalonians? Oh, you put the Old Testament and the New Testament together and you read this book and, ladies, I'm handling gold, I'm handling diamonds, I'm handling silver, I'm handling the greatest treasures that men have. The Word of God telling us about the last days. By peace shall he destroy many. Would you kind of tell me what the world's talking for right now? They want a man of peace to come in and take over, and he will. All we hear about Jerusalem is peace, peace. He shall stand up against the prince of princes. What? He shall be broken without hand. Beloved, this prophecy brings us down to events that are about to happen. And if the earlier things did happen, as the scripture reports they would, the later things which have not yet happened are going to come to pass. You see how close we are to eternity? You see how close we are to Daniel? Well, Daniel had a hard time when he heard all this. Look at the next two verses. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. It's true, all right. I'm so glad that I have enough spiritual discernment and understanding to explain it to you people like this. You have to believe that this Christ, you have to believe that God sent His Son. You have to believe all other idols are devil's creatures. Only Christ stands. You know where I've taken you back today? I've taken you back to Daniel. Daniel believed. And so do we. Now tonight, I hope you could hear the greatest prophecy of the Old Testament. The time when Jesus will be cut off, when he dies, not for himself, but he dies. That's Daniel chapter 9. And we'll expound it again, and then we'll be free from Daniel for a while.